And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:07 in the afternoon on this Monday. Already August 18th. Oh, man, where is summer going? I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And Bridget, I finally have some good news. We have a much... Go ahead.
Drier forecast?
Yes, we do. And now, that doesn't mean there's no rain in the forecast, but over the next, through the end of the month, I was just taking a look at the latest LRC, and there's only a couple chances of rain through the end of the month. I'm not quite buying that towards the end of the month. I do see there's going to be a zone, what we call a baroclinic zone, where we get these systems to race very quickly through the area, and if any of those decides to slow the roll a little bit, we could have some decent or non-decent rain, whatever you want to look at it, towards the end of the month. But over the next 10 days, it's looking pretty pretty quiet outside of later this week. We're getting into that northwest flow out of Canada, and that typically means a drier forecast. So that's good news there.
I think most folks would be happy to see that. I did see some combines that have managed to roll over the weekend, and you know, it's just that little spotty shower. In fact, my home farm was going to be combining some wheat today, and unfortunately they had to push it off till tomorrow because once again they had some showers overnight. So it'll be nice to have. I'm currently in Bismarck. I was in front of the North Dakota CPA Society this morning as speaking, and it's actually 90 degrees out here. So Bismarck is warm. It's humid, which makes it a little harder for things to dry out, but I'll be looking forward to combines in the field as I head back to the east here after the show.
There, turn me on. The mics weren't on here in the studio. Sorry, Bridget.
Ah, whoops.
We're having a little technical difficulties behind the scenes.
Okay, I hate to tell you this, but you're like the only one there. What are you doing?
Yeah, right. Well, I walk into the studio and the whole panel button was down, and so JT had to come in here and do his magic.
Ah.
So.
like
we were talking, and I know, you know, we're getting close to harvest here for our wheat, so we would like the drier weather as well. How far down? I mean, corn is still, we're over about a month away for corn, or?
Oh, at least. Yeah. We'll need a little more time. I would say, you know, next weekend is Labor Day already. And so pay attention as you're driving. How many of the soybean fields do you see that are starting to turn? Because they're very, very daylight sensitive. And as our days are dropping, you're going to notice more yellowing and drying down in the soybeans. And that'll probably go fairly fast. Interesting to note, I did see a post this weekend that said I think it was last week, was the last day we were going to see sunset after 9 p.m. Until May of 2026.
Right.
So when I say soybeans are very photosensitive, they truly are paying attention. And there are some fields that we've noticed yellowing in already for those soybeans. For those of you who are wondering what that is, it might be some sandy spots in areas where that ground dries out very quickly, and so you don't have as much moisture, and those soybeans will, in fact, probably mature a little bit quicker. They'll have faster dry down. Also, we have had some areas where there were soybean aphids that may have already taken some of those plants a little more prematurely. And lastly, iron chlorosis, which you will see as a disease in the field, and our deficiency, and iron chlorosis will be a problem that you can see, especially in what were like low-lying areas or certain streaks through the field. You'll see yellowed soybeans, and that's often what it's a cause from.
Gotcha. Well, our forecast is looking, hey, we were supposed to see more sunshine by now this afternoon, but we're still kind of hanging on to the clouds after some fog this morning. We'll see these clouds burn off. They're kind of hanging around the FM area. The further west you go, more sunshine. The further north you go, more sunshine. So gradually we'll see more sunshine. If you have any outdoor plans, it'll be a dry one. Highs today about the low 80s. Some areas that are already seeing more sunshine could hit about 84, 85. With northwest winds about 5 to 15. Clear skies overnight tonight and a little more patchy fog, low 60s with light winds. And then we'll burn that fog off tomorrow. With light winds, we'll have highs in the mid-80s, and then right around 90 for Wednesday and Thursday. Cold front arrives Thursday evening. giving us a slight chance for a few storms. I think the majority of those are going to be northwest Minnesota into Lakes Country, but we could be right on the back end of that. We'll keep a close eye on that for Thursday evening. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all dry with cooler weather coming in from Canada. Highs only in the upper 60s to near 70 over the weekend, with nighttime lows generally in the upper 40s. That's a nice little taste of fall.
So, upper 40s, you say. Yeah. Well,
in fact, some areas will probably be mid-40s.
Surprising.
No?
Well, how are you going to start a question about when's the first frost?
Ooh, hey, let's slow the roll. Let's slow the roll.
Yeah, Dean, what's our first snowfall looking like this year?
You know what?
Right.
Addison.
Addison's all over this.
It's going to be coming. It's going to be coming in, how about, let's say November, our first snowfall. Is that a safe bet? Somewhere between the first and the end of the month?
Is there any way we can bump that up to before Halloween?
You want a snowy Halloween?
As a guy who drives a car without a functioning AC but a functioning heater, the sooner the better.
We'll work on that.
So, Addison, I'd like Addison to put his prediction on an official post-it note and stick it on the window in the weather office so that we can keep track of Addison's need for cooler.
I like it.
I'll think of a date.
I like it.
And so, that'd be outstanding.
I've had a few questions too, Bridget, already coming in saying, what is the LRC forecasting for this upcoming winter? I've heard numerous forecasts saying it's supposed to be a cold and snowy winter. Well, again, if you're new to the LRC, the new cycle doesn't start until that first week of October. Around October 6th, we'll see a brand new cycle start. And so what you want to watch for are any significant storms between October 6th and when the cycle sets. So usually, again, 30, 45 days, somewhere in that general time frame. So by the middle of November, we'll have a pretty good handle on what the rest of the winter looks like. We are seeing, and again, with the LRC being the central piece to the puzzle, some of the other pieces of the weather atmospheric puzzle are pointing towards a snowier winter and a colder winter as well. That's not set in stone, but we are getting some signs from the other pieces to the puzzle that definitely may occur. And so it's probably a safe bet that we're going to have a harsher winter than the last two. I mean, the last two have been cakewalks up here for the most part. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see how that LRC unfolds during the month of October and the first half of November.
Well, when you said people are wanting to know if it's going to be a cold and snowy winter, I held back from saying, well, yeah, it's North Dakota.
Yeah, right.
We'll have cold, we'll have snow. Just to what extent.
Exactly.
So we'll see what that begins to look like. But at the same time, that thought crossed my mind. I did get a message here from one of our listeners, Michael, as a reminder that there is a upcoming movie, and I think the premiere is in the month of September, if it's not already happened. And the movie is called Hazel, and it is done by Cantico Productions out of Bismarck. I think this is the fourth movie that they have done. I've seen a couple of them. And the movie Hazel is about a young woman named Hazel Miner. Now, this is going to be coming directly off my memory. Hazel Miner was a 16-year-old girl in western North Dakota, and during a blizzard, she and her younger siblings were walking home from their one-room schoolhouse, trying to get home to beat the weather, but they did not. And Hazel, this was in March of 1920, Hazel actually protected the siblings, and she lost her life trying to keep them safe during that blizzard. So there's a reason why when new people move to the state, we remind you that winter can kill you, and winter will be here before we know it. So let's enjoy the summer. I mean, it's 90 degrees outside. I'm still going to try to live it up because Dean already said it's going to be down in the 40s at night before too terribly long. So think about those things. One other thing I'd really like to touch on is I make it a point to talk about mental health for our farms and rural communities. And I can't emphasize enough, rural prices the way it's at for wheat, corn, soybeans, folks are very concerned about what their profitability is going to look like for the year, if there will be a profitability. We have had 4 North Dakota farmers die by suicide in the last 10 days. 4. I'm asking folks to please check on your neighbors. If it is you and you have a concern, please reach out, because we don't want to lose any more people. I know that the stress is high, not only on the farmers, but our grain merchandisers, our bankers, our seed sellers, all of those folks as well. But we can't lose any more people. We certainly don't want to. So let's make sure we check on each other. And if you are concerned and not sure where to go for help, reach out. Oftentimes, our extension agents are trained to help us find help through first aid for mental health first aid training. You can reach out to me, ag@flagfamily.com, and I'll point you in the right direction. And there are so many others who are willing to be of assistance, whether it's your pastors, your local doctor, whomever it might be. But please make sure you get help, because whether it's depression, anxiety, PTSD, or suicidal thoughts, we want to make sure that you are your best self and can continue to farm and live to be a part of the next day for your family. So please keep that in mind. That is a rather somber note, but an important one.
And now, and sound advice, a lot of people just kind of ignore it too, Bridget.
Let's not ignore it. We're going to bring it up a lot in this show. So on a positive note, we're going to hear from the American Ag Network for our livestock markets, which are having a great rally these days. It's taken 20 years, but livestock producers, particularly in cattle, are doing well. So let's hear what those markets look like. And when we return, we'll be joined by our guest, Chris Sherman, our cybersecurity superhero with Tech Support Farm. Don't forget to give us a call here on the JLA Insurance phone line. You can reach us at 701-293-9000. I'll take your emails, ag@flagfamily.com, and those can go to dean@weather@flagfamily.com. And on the live stream, you'll catch us every day. We're using Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV. That is Weather and Ag in Focus on those or performances, perhaps. Now, I get to turn it over to our cybersecurity superhero, Chris Sherman. He has had a busy day already. In fact, Chris and I were both speaking earlier this morning. So Chris is far ahead of me. I'm still in Bismarck. Chris made it all the way back without stopping to visit with a highwayman because they're paying close attention. There you guys. Now, if your speeds are not fast enough on your internet, that's a whole different problem. So, Chris, some of the things that we talked about this morning that I wanted to bring up today was, one, with Tech Support Farm, give us a little advice, because we constantly get these pop-ups that say, I'll store your password for you, like Google wants to do that all the time. Yay? Nay? What should we be doing differently when it comes to something like that online?
That is a big no. Unfortunately, you know, I would say that, unfortunately, we see a lot of web browsers going and automatically saving passwords for us. And the problem with that is that if anybody else gets into that web browser with your account login, then all of a sudden your passwords are all right there sitting, just waiting to be taken. So I would highly recommend that you accept the never, you know, save these passwords, and then you use an actual password manager. One that you pay for, make sure that you hold that encryption key. Because if your device ever fails or anything like that, you need that key, obviously, to get those passwords back. But that's what I would recommend.
Chris, I've got a question for you. This morning, and this happened to me, and this is the first time I've done this. So if I did wrong, you better scold me and let me know. So I had a doctor bill that I normally would pay when I'm in the office. This time I said, you know what? I'll just pay it, via text. You know, they send you a text link where you can do it that way. First time I've done it that way. And I was looking for, I think it's a little like lock symbol where it's supposed to be quote unquote more secure. Is that safe, or is it, or would you recommend, you know what? If you've got a chance to pay over the phone or pay in person, that's probably the best way to do it.
Well, first of all, I am really dumbfounded that they actually sent you a text message that you could pay it.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Ugh, I have never heard of that.
Really?
Right? And no, I'm really kind of surprised.
Bridget's cringing. I can see.
Yeah, no, right? I'm like, oh, okay. This
so
can't be
again,
good.
This is where, you know, we default back to the idea of call up the clinic. Right. Ask for the billing department and say, hey, I got a notice via text message from you saying that this is you and this is the bill. I just want to verify before I go paying it. And they might tell you that, you know, it's rolled out. A really good example is that, those big class action lawsuit settlements that where you get the, you know, $9.43, you know, your big yes. payout or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for that check. Waiting.
Yes, exactly. A lot hinges on that. You know, I remember one of them, they had a QR code where you just scanned it and automatically took you to this website and it says, enter your routing number and your bank account number. And it really, really was interesting because it actually was legitimate. But at the same time, if you've never seen it before, I wouldn't trust it, right? Mm-hmm. Give them a call, verify right. first before you actually go doing that. It's no different than like when the IRS emails you or calls you sure. about your, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So I would be very, very cautious about that.
Okay. I'm calling them on break here at the bottom of the hour. Now you got me worried.
It's nothing more than like a little blood test or something for a couple $100 and not a $40,000 bill.
Oh, no. Yeah. It wasn't that much. It wasn't that
yeah.
much.
So when we talk about, you know, how to better protect our farms, our agribusinesses, ourselves, our personal accounts, many people yep. run multiple businesses off their farm. They may have seed, they may have insurance, buying and selling tractors. And they think about using McAfee or Norton plus a VPN and saying, okay, then I'm good, I'm safe. But that may not be the case, correct?
That is a big problem. The problem being that, you know, we have to think about cybersecurity and network security a lot like our homes. And, you know, the concept that, you know, there's a lot of different aspects that go into securing your home. And, you know, you've got your deadbolts and your security cameras, you've got floodlights, you've got smoke detectors, you've got gates, you've got sump pumps, you've got all of these things. But, you know, kind of like when I was talking this morning, the theory is we would all really think it odd if our neighbor out in the countryside has bars on his windows and doors. That makes sense in the inner city, right? That makes sense in 90s Los Angeles. But it doesn't make sense in that scenario. And so what we see a lot of people doing is either they have zero security whatsoever, or we see a scenario where they've thrown things and they've spent a lot of money on tools and resources from a cybersecurity perspective that they didn't actually need to spend, right? There is no reason to have, you know, server backups and redundancy when you don't have a server. It's no different than you really shouldn't have, you know, sump pump alarms if you're living in a double wide. And that's kind of my theory on that. You have to evaluate the situation that you have, what the risks are, what the liabilities are, and then talk to somebody about getting the tools that are appropriate for that scenario.
There's many more tools that we should be talking about. And a number of them have to do with protecting ourselves and protecting some of our folks who are involved in the farm or the agribusiness that might be older and have less security, what this can mean to you as a business owner, and more. And let's touch on a number of those things when we return. So after the news, more information from Chris Sherman. He is our cybersecurity superhero with Tech Support Farm, making sure your farm and agribusiness are best protected and your information doesn't go out in bad places. We'll return. Harvest is inching closer for us here at Weather and Ag in Focus. And as your ag director, I promise to let you know when we're going to the field to combine our wheat. To the folks that have been a part of that project this year, thank you to ND Estate Services. And throughout the summer, Mark has given us great advice about avoiding taxes and probate and how to get our lives in order so we can have less chaos when those days arrive. Also, thank you to Thor Buildings. They are out there putting up more machine sheds and shops for many people after what happened on the June 20th storms and some since then as well. So if you're thinking about a shop, a cabin, or anything, think about their post-frame construction and what it can do for you. Today I'm joined by Chris Sherman. He's our cybersecurity superhero with Tech Support Farm. Chris, a question for you. We have a number of farmers that are thinking ahead about some of the government payments that they get. That can happen for conservation programs. There can be grants, et cetera. And those dollars are supposed to be, or that information is supposed to be transacted through their emails. And you've already warned us, having just a personal email account, information can be closely watched. Do you think there's a higher probability that those government emails are being watched and that someone can change your information and divert your payments without you knowing it? What does that maybe look like?
I think that clearly anything is possible, but I really think that it's more of the outbound emails that you're sending that are not going to be encrypted. And typically we don't see the government, you know, interacting. I mean, they do interact via email, but it's really the information that you're sending out of your emails that can be extracted. I think that based on the payment size, that would really be the variable, whether they feel like it's worth going after or not. And again, that would also be indicative of you having spyware on your system and somebody sitting there watching your emails as they go in and out. And so I think that it really boils down to two things. Number one, making sure that your network and your computers are protected and that there's nothing on there. And number two, making sure you're using a corporate email that has a domain and the proper filtration on both ends, the inbound and outbound emails.
And Chris, just, you know, I mentioned my story to you before. I said, when I go on break, I'm calling the doctor's office to make sure that I was like, you had me worried. But they said they are, this is the last time they're doing it. They're switching over to a new system, but they said, rest assured, it's secure.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But see, I mean, think about how easy that would be in order for somebody to, I mean, just like a $360, you know, request, right?
Right.
You just fire it off to 100 people and maybe 30 of them respond. You've paid for a weekend in Vegas, you know?
At least, right?
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to some of those things like Dean mentioned, right, are you checking your security, your vulnerability? Because farms and ranches and agribusinesses, when we have that information that is too easily accessible, that works its way back up the chain, and that can harm other businesses. Do you want to explain a little bit about what that might look like for people or what they should be thinking about, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, kind of the example that we talked about today is, you know, let's say that you have a business on the side, you've got a pool of customers or a book of customers that you have. And maybe you are practicing, you know, you've got good cybersecurity, you've got everything in place, you've got a company like Tech Support Farm running your stuff. The problem is that, you know, one of your customers was compromised and they were hacked. And so in an interaction via email from your company back to your client, the client, you know, email was received and the hacker saw it and they responded as the client. And they put in a little, you know, piece of malware in there. You open up the email, you click on the link because you've known Bob, you know, for 20 years. The link, you know, didn't seem to do anything. You emailed Bob back and said, hey, I never got that documentation. And life carries on like normal, right? The problem is that when you clicked on that link, you downloaded spyware into your network. And now it sits there in your network. Once they figured out who your client list is, now they go back through and they might either do a spam, you know, or a phishing attempt where they try to invoice all of your clients and bring in all the money, or they might actually go and infiltrate all of your clients' computers via an email being spoofed as your business. And so the theory that, you know, or the concept that we're really getting at is that, you know, herd immunity is really important in the animal world, but at the same time, it's kind of important in the cybersecurity world, because just because you are cyber secure and just because you've done your due diligence to protect your networks, anybody that you're doing business with, they do pose risks and vulnerabilities. And the biggest vulnerability, in any network and in any, digital environment is the person sitting behind the screen.
Well, that's a huge point. Who's behind the screen and what does that make happen? Because one of the things I heard you say earlier today was not having all your devices linked, which is a little counterintuitive to what we're being told. As soon as you get new phones, you're told to be part of a friends and family plan. You want to make sure that you're using the same Apple iTunes login across all your devices, yep, etc. But you're saying that actually can bring more harm than good to us, especially in our farms.
In certain instances, when we have our mobile devices, you know, linked back to our physical computers, different applications that are out there that allow you to see all of your text messages, that allow you to have access to, you know, your mobile device from your laptop, it really is kind of counterintuitive in the sense that if you're trying to use multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication as additional measures of security, the point was is to separate those so that you have to go to a separate device in order to get it. But if you're getting text messages in 2FA on your computer and somebody is in your computer trying to hack into something and all they have to do is open up the messaging app on your computer and suddenly there's your 2FA. It really kind of defeats the purpose. The best way I would describe it, it's like having your spare keys on the same key ring. And, you know, you lose it and suddenly, well, I mean, you lost your spare keys too. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I get the idea that it's, you know, it's easier to, you know, to receive messages on your computer and that way you're not going back and forth between devices. But at the same time, it really, you know, it opens up a new level of vulnerability.
So with the advancements in AI, because we know it gets smarter all the time, do you think that the hacking, the ransomware, those types of things are going to increase in propensity as that gets smarter?
I do. What we do see is AI is being used on both sides of the equation. And so when we're doing network vulnerability scanning and we're doing, you know, pen testing and that sort of thing, we're definitely using AI as a means to speed up our process and to really help us, you know, explore and make sure that we're, you know, it kind of covers the whole human error aspect of things. But the problem is that we're also seeing AI as a tool that is being leveraged in ransomware attacks and other hacking attempts. And so I think that it's really going to amp up the volume, so to speak, and maybe the level of attacks. But I think that everything is going to stay relatively the same in the sense that we're not going to see anything, you know, drastically new coming out of this in the near future.
New or not, there's still a lot of things that are looking to swipe our information. You know, we often hear that it's not a matter of if you get hacked, phished, ransomware, et cetera. It's just more a matter of time. And one of those groups that's most vulnerable are the less techie. And I'm not even in an age group. It's those who don't have as much technical experience. And how do we protect those people? What kind of things can we tell them about their flip phones or watching their emails for phishing schemes, that type of thing?
Well, number one, we can definitely put on software that will, you know, that will protect your devices. But number two, I think it's education. It boils back to, you know, the idea of keeping it front of mind and, you know, the center of conversation, making sure that we've, you know, create, you know, dare I say, a culture of trust where if members of your organization or members of your family have questions or things like that, you want to have that relationship where they feel comfortable enough to bring that up. You know, Dean and a medical bill. I mean, we don't want to have a scenario where people are hiding it. We really need to bring it out into the open and discuss these things because anybody can be, you know, anybody can fall and prey to these things and be at risk.
And that's funny.
Very fair statement.
It's funny you say that, Chris, because normally, when you're in a rush, sometimes, and I was in a rush this morning, it's like, all right, I'll pay it. And when you're in a rush, that's where it's like I said earlier, I normally would never pay via text. Yep. It's just sometimes you get rushed and you're like, all right, I'll just do it what looks like the easy way and could end up, like you said, really being the worst way you could possibly do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
So slow down, right? Pay attention.
Yes. Yes.
Slow down. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to call them up and just be like, I'm not sure that I've seen this. And at the same time, you know, just from a due diligence perspective, if you are a business and you do have a book of clients, and you do decide to change your billing practices, maybe you are going to, you know, send out, you know, the QuickBooks link now where they can pay their invoices, notify your clients ahead of time, right? Give them a, you know, a letter that just says, hey, we're adjusting our billing practices. You will be able to do this from now on. We don't want there to be any concerns that this is a cyber breach, so on and so forth. If you lay out those expectations, a lot of times, if there is something that crops up that is an anomaly, or there is a phishing attempt or, you know, spoofing attempt, your clients will be the first ones to let you know about it.
Well, Chris, for those who need to find out more, who need to spend some time visiting with you and probably talk about the services you can offer, how can they reach you?
Yeah, they can definitely call us at 701-446-8518, or you can go on our website, techsupport.farm, and we would be glad to sit down and talk with you and kind of walk through some stuff with you. Also, you know, when it comes to determining what is the best, you know, set of tools that you need and that sort of thing, we have a really cool tool called Fence Check, and you just log in, you enter, answer some questions about your farm, your operation, that sort of thing. And within 24 hours, you get a report generated that walks you through what you can do, action items, things that you can take, you know, steps you can take right now to beef up your security, and then what tools would be most recommended for your operation.
Those would be great pieces of advice. Chris Sherman, our Tech Support Farm cybersecurity superhero, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Chris. And when we come back, we'll have a recap of the weather, what it's going to look like for the rest of this week. And Bridget's got a few ag topics to touch on as well. More of that when we come back. Hey, welcome back at 1:52 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside in the mid to upper 70s. We're starting to see finally a few breaks in the clouds, and we'll continue to see more sunshine as we head into the afternoon with a beautiful evening. If you have evening plans, we should have more sunshine out there. A little bit of a breeze out of the northwest, but not bad. And we'll top out in the low 80s today and then down to 60 tonight with a little more in the way of patchy fog developing towards sunrise with light winds and light winds on Tuesday. A little more sunshine after that fog burns off, and then highs in the mid-80s tomorrow. And then 90 right around there for Wednesday and Thursday. A cold front hits Thursday evening after about 5 o'clock. Could trigger off an isolated storm or two. I think the best bet is going to be on the east side of the river into areas of Lakes Country up towards northwest Minnesota. But we'll keep an eye on that. And then it looks dry Friday through the weekend with cooler weather coming into the area. Highs over the weekend. Upper 60s to near 70, nighttime lows in the upper 40s to near 50. And even taking a peek into next week, Bridget, most of next week until maybe the end of next week looks pretty dry. So we've got a nice stretch outside of Thursday evening, a nice stretch of dry weather coming into the area. And I'm sure a lot of people will be happy about that for sure.
Oh, I think that's probably going to be helpful. I mean, these rain events have been great. We appreciate the fact that we've had some certain yields bump up because of them. But when I have folks who are not measuring their rainfall in inches, but in feet at this time of the year, it's a little ridiculous. North Central South Dakota, they're talking 32 inches of rain since June.
They've been in that target zone, unfortunately. They've gotten in, and hey, that's close to home. You know, that's that, you know, you shift that weather pattern just a little bit further north, and that puts our area in the crosshairs. So lucky for us, and just a real unfortunate for areas of South Dakota, like you were saying.
Oh, well, believe me, any of those folks that are Sergeant Richland, Ransom counties, anybody who's bordering down there, we've got Western Cass County. We have a lot of places that have already said, yeah, I've seen too much, and it might not be 32 inches of too much rain, but there's been plenty, no doubt. So as we talk about things that, you know, are debatable, concerning, et cetera, one of those debates and concerns right now has been, how do we define processed foods here in the United States? Because there are some systems that are used globally. One of them is called the NOVA system, and it's used all across the globe. It's a classification system recognized by the World Health Organization. We don't use it here with the USDA. So what falls into that ultra-processed food category? Interestingly enough, things like yogurt, which we consider a health food, infant formulas, unsweetened breakfast cereals, or even whole grains, whole grain bread. So you also have the argument that what I cook at home is always healthier than what I can buy elsewhere. Well, that's a yes and no type statement, because if you're using a less healthy oil in your cooking, or you've added more salt, you've now changed that processed version and maybe made it a little bit worse for the wear. If we want to think about how to categorize, and what we use right now within the U.S. falls into about four categories. And again, these are under debate. There may be some changes to what they look like. Processed category would include, or excuse me, unprocessed category, straight fruits, vegetables, nuts, eggs, milk, and meat. Not a lot done to that. If you look at processed ingredients, that could include oils, butter, vinegar, sugar, salt, and honey. And I find it interesting that we put milk in the unprocessed. I suppose they're referencing raw milk, because if we consider sugar a processed ingredient that goes through refinement, wouldn't milk go there too, because we put it through pasteurization? Then those are processed ingredients. Processed foods could be hams, cheeses, fresh breads, salted nuts, or fruit in syrup that's in tins. And then we have the ultra-processed levels, where we're thinking probably more like potato chips, biscuits, bread, that sort of thing. Now, it's also about moderation. So, for instance, if you have one snack-sized bag of chips, once a month or less, it's very unlikely that any of those ingredients have a negative health impact on you. But if you're eating a one-pound bag of chips twice a day, that makes a serious difference in what your health overall could look like. So just keep in mind, it's best for us to be reading labels, everything in moderation, and don't forget the exercise. We are truly a sedentary lifestyle these days, and we can change that. I also find it rather interesting when folks say, I don't want to eat ultra-processed foods. Well, salad kits are considered processed, because everything in there is chopped up, and it can depend on the dressings that are involved. Trail mix is considered processed, and so are protein bars. Some of the things that were often put in our category of least processed, healthy, but can vary on what's been done to them, how often they're consumed as well. Watch what you're eating in moderation. I'm still a big fan of beef. I know as many other sources, so just have what works for you. I think that's probably our bottom line in many of these cases. Try to get what's best for you.
No doubt. And like you said, everything in moderation. Don't overdo it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And some of that not overdoing it also comes down to budgeting. We know that budgeting is getting tighter in many cases, and folks are trying to do their best job of watching their dollars spent at the grocery store. We also are doing that more because we see some layoffs happening in agriculture with machinery, especially. That market is in a downward cycle right now as we watch our low commodity prices. Recently, there were some layoffs at RDO that affected their Midwestern stores as well as their Southwest stores, Southwest US. So I hate to see folks lose jobs. We just know that in this marketplace right now, until we get a better price on corn and soybeans, we're probably going to see some of those things continue to happen, particularly in new equipment.
Right. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon on Weather and Ag in Focus. For Bridget, myself, have a great rest of the afternoon. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.